Shirupam Sadhrujatam Bhagara Ragaratam Vidantam Srivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vasakam Sitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabando Gatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishubhanu Siddhidevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubya Sra Kripa Sindhubya Sra Madidana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Mo Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaitika Dadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5 Chapter 18 The residents of Jambu Dweep offer prayers, text 26. Antak, Bahi, Sha, Akila Loka Palakai, Adrishta, Rupa, Vicharasi, Puru, Swana, Sa, Vishay, Anayat,
Anayat,
Namna,
Namna,
Brahmana,
Brahmana,
Yata,
Yata,
Daru,
Daru,
Mayim,
Mayim,
Narha,
Narha,
Sriyam,
Sriyam,
Antarvahis Chakila Lokapalakar,
Antarvahis Chakila Lokapalakar,
Adhrishta Rupa Vicharasyuru Svana
Adhrishta Rupa Vicharasyuru Svana
Deishvara Svam Yaidam Vishen Vishenayan
Deishvara Svam Yaidam Vishenayan
Namna Yata Dharumayim Dharastriyam
Namna Yata Dharumayim Dharastriyam
Antarvahis Chakila Lokapalakar
Shakila Lokapalake,
Antarvahishakila Lokapalakai,
Vishwarupo Vicharasi Urusvanaha,
Vishwarupo Vicharasi Urusvanaha,
Sahishwarasvam Yaidam Vashenaya,
Sahishwarasvam Yaidam Vashenaya,
Namna Yatha Darumayim Narastriya,
Namna Yatha Darumayim Narastriya, Antarvahishakila Lokapalakai
Vishwarupo Vicharasi Urusvanaha
Vishwarupo Vicharasi Urusvanaha
Vaishvara
Such as the Brahmanas,
Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras.
Such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas,
Vaishyas, and Shudras.
Although you are in everyone's heart as the Supreme Witness,
although you are in everyone's heart as the Supreme Witness,
and Commander,
and Commander,
and are outside everyone as well,
and outside everyone as well,
the so-called leaders in societies,
so-called leaders in societies,
communities and countries,
communities and countries,
cannot realize it,
cannot realize it.
Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you.
Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you.
Shrila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarvaihi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the laws of external energy and realize his presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, nato natyadaro vita, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarabhutana ridhe she arjunatishati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, he is the Super Soul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is resting within the heart, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Dharumayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women want to remain independent. What to speak of women, all of the entities are our property, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord. As Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, aparayam itaspanyam prakritim vidime param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord, Narayana, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms it. Eko ha vai Narayana asit. Foolish people think Narayana to be on the platform of ordinary material existence, because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity. They concoct names like Daridra Narayana, Swami Narayana, or Mithya Narayana. However, Narayana is actually the supreme control of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Andarvani Shakila Lokapalakar Adrishta Rupa Vicharaskuru Svana Se Ishvarasvam Jai Dham Vishay Nayan Nam Nayata Dharamayin My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as the supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimade Bhakti Granada Swami Tadame Namaste Sarasvandeve Gauravani Kacharne Nirvi Shesha Shunivadi Bhaskadhyaya De Siddharna. Constitutional position of the spirit souls explained here, that the spirit soul is always subordinate. Sometimes he imagines that he is independent, but the fact is he's always subordinate. That's his natural position. Just like it is said here, Savasita Amri Sanavishto Matatsmritir Jnanam Apavanam Sha. Vedaischa Savaraham Eva Vedyo Vedantikrit Vedavis Eva Jama. Now Krishna, he's in everyone's heart, and from him is coming remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So that depends upon the living entity's desire. The living entity is completely dependent on Krishna to fulfill any desire he has. Even his desires are not independent. Krishna says, Nadate kasuchit papam, na papam sukriti vibhur, agyane na vritam jnana, enamuni jantava. Nor is the Supreme Soul assuming anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings are, however, bewildered by the ignorance that covers the real knowledge. In other words, even our desires are arising from the material nature, our conditioned desires. The Prabhupada writes in the purport that desire is a subtle form of conditioning to the soul. We can see if someone holds a gun to our head, we're being told what to do. But if some desire arises in our mind, then we don't necessarily identify it as a demand coming from the illusory energy. We think, oh, this is love, or this is some my desire. So this is generally known as illusion. We think that it's my desire. We take possession of it. But actually it's simply desire arising from the material energy according to our past activities. But because it's subtle, we're not conscious of it as it actually is. The living entity has a choice. Either he can dovetail his desires for those of the material nature which arise out of his past activities and karma, or he can dovetail his desires with that of the Supreme Personality of God. Now, the material nature, desires generally are all self-centered. In other words, the living entity, as I explained last night, is by nature a worshiper. That's his position. Now he can decide who to worship. He cannot stop worshiping. Because he's tiny, he worships things greater than himself. But in illusion, the living entity is identifying the body, or the subtle mind, or his conception of life, as being worshipable. And therefore, he, instead of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, serves the illusory material energy in the form of a gross and subtle material body. He takes the body as his deity, and without any hesitation, whatever desires arise within the mind, he serves them spontaneously in any species of life. Currently, human society, instead of trying to understand the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, deny the very existence of God, deny his desires, and instead try to forget any trace of God consciousness and dovetail their desires completely in the realm of sense gratification, hoping in the future to achieve the platform of raga nibbana, spontaneous sense gratification. Without any hesitation, as soon as the desire arises, to immediately fulfill it without any consideration of any possible consequence. Eat until you get sick, have sex until you become impotent, impotent, sleep until someone wakes you up. In other words, become a perfect animal. That's more or less what society is aiming at, to sleep like a bear. If you're a bear, you sleep for 6 months, no one will criticize you. There's no one will come to wake you up. You don't have to worry about you didn't pay the rent for 6 months. No worries. You just sleep for 6 months and you wake up and you look forward to the next 6 months to sleep. Or if one is a pig, a hog, just like in Vrindavan, you can see in Vrindavan that the hogs, they're spontaneously the cleaners of the street without any room. They're so devoted to their occupation, they don't care about any remuneration. Simply their occupation is enough to satisfy them. They sit in the sewers of Vrindavan, they open their mouth, and everything flows in, and they're completely content and satisfied with the offerings of all the Vaishnavas, getting their remnants. Oh, so, they're definitely on the platform of spontaneous sense gratification. Without any hesitation, they have sex life, male, female, human being, dog, cat, anything that comes along. And they eat anything, anytime, sleep anywhere, at any time. So this is the result of following the dictations of the illusory energy. But because we're thinking that when I'm serving Maya, I'm independent, therefore we claim that there is no God. Although at every moment, we're under the jurisdiction of God's energy. Just like we can see those who claim that they're independent or in the future they're going to become independent by science, they don't recognize that at every moment their body's changing. So let them stop changing their body for one moment, then we'd be impressed that they can control something. But if they can't even stop their body from changing for a moment, even half a moment, then what control do they have? They have absolutely no control. They don't even know under what influence their body is changing. They call it time, but they don't know where time comes from. And time doesn't change. We don't read it in the newspaper that time, it got, became old and it died. Therefore, there's no more time. The time is just as powerful as it was 50 billion years ago. It's just as powerful now. The time's not changing, and we don't even know what time is, what that energy is. Yet it's changing everything, including our body, and we have no idea what the nature of time is, and they're talking about controlling something. If they can't stop everything control, and everything's can be changed by time, not by scientists, not by us, not by anyone. It's everything's being changed by time. Sometimes in the Vedic culture, people can understand that a little bit more easily, just like through astrology. I gave a seminar on astrology yesterday. So people are thinking, I'm independent. And then they hear from someone who looks at their astrological chart, doesn't know them at all, tells them what happened to them in the past, what's happening to them now, and something that what probably will happen to them in the future. So they were controlled in the past, they're being controlled now, and they'll be controlled in the future. So sometimes in the Vedic culture, by the different Vedic sciences, people become a little aware of the fact that they're under control. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, Prabhupada said that every gentleman should understand the science of astrology, Jyotish. The reason is that Prabhupada didn't want everyone to become an astrologer, but because under astrology, by hearing about astrology, one can understand that we're actually being controlled by higher powers, and that the only way of changing what's going to happen to us is to change our relationship with the higher powers. Now, the highest power, Krishna, whose Vachi, Krishna says, Kalosmi Lokashe Kritparido, Lokans Mahartami Hakarita, Vitevi Kwamnabi Vishanti Sarve, Yevastita Pratmyuke Shiyoda. Time I am the destroyer of all things, of all beings, and I've come here to engage all people. So, Arjuna, everyone, was being engaged by time on the battlefield. Except for you, everyone here on the both sides of the battlefield is going to be slain. So time is engaging everyone in this world. But we're not part of the material world. That's the fortunate thing. We're beyond material nature. So when we hear, my body, my mind is being controlled by time, the natural impulse is to try to figure out how to stop that control. And therefore we struggle, karshati, against time. We hear we've grown old. I saw it was a little booklet in the office. It was said something about how to stop aging. Reverse aging, the fountain of youth. So people naturally want to counteract time. But the fact is, we're not part of time. We're not this body. Therefore, we're just wasting our time trying to counteract time, which is Krishna. That's our problem. We're trying to change the material world according to how we want it to be, instead of trying to find out how the controller wants it to be, and therefore dovetailing our activities with the controller's activities, and therefore becoming aloof from this desire to control. We only have one problem in the world. It's not that we're growing, this body's growing older. That's not a problem. We've had so many bodies that we're growing older. They're all growing older. Always. It's not that we're going to leave this body, because we've left so many bodies. We're always changing one body after another. That's not our problem. Our problem is that we're trying to become the controller. And therefore, because we're trying to become the controller, in illusion, we're identifying ourselves with the material world, and therefore we're stuck in the material world, experiencing all these things that are going on. Because material energy is the universal form of Krishna. So in one sense, we're all Krishna conscious. But this type of Krishna consciousness is not very nice. Krishna says it's a ugra rupa, this horrible feature of mine. He didn't say, my dear Arjuna, luckily you're right in me, in the universal form, and I'm in you, so you have no problems. Just go on doing whatever you want to do, and everything will be all right. No, yoga, chalaki, manasa, material nature will tell us to do so many things in this world. Kamadi nam katida katida palitas durni desha kesha mayi data nakruna natra api no pushanti utsri daitam yatapate samprataye lava buddhi tvam ayinam abhayam sharanam yukshvatmada mam dasyat yukshvatmam am dasye. So in so many ways, the senses are dictated to us. Eat this, do that, do so many things. It's dictating, and we're following. And we're forgetting Krishna, because we're misidentifying ourselves as servant to the body. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to stop serving. Servants, we are. We have to be servants. But we should become servants of Krishna. We should take Krishna as our worshipful deity rather than his body. And the difference is that when we take Krishna as our worshipful deity, we become conscious of Krishna. And Krishna is all pleasurable. And we have a wonderful relation with Krishna. And when we take this body, we serve the senses without Krishna, then we forget Krishna and we become aware of the body. And the problem of becoming aware of the body is that it's full of misery. We're not criticizing any particular body, but all the bodies are full of misery. The king's body is full of misery. The demigod's body is full of misery. The worm's body is full of misery. And our body also is miserable. Now, it may be relatively happy sometimes, relatively miserable. When we're not suffering so much, we think I'm doing all right. And as soon as the misery increases a little bit, then we think we have a problem. But actually, we always have a problem. Sometimes we realize when we're a little bit more conscious of our problems that we have a problem, and sometimes we're less conscious. But our real problem is we've forgotten Krishna, and that's the only problem. And we've forgotten Krishna because we're trying to imitate him. To think ourselves, now I'm going to be eternally a servant of God, then we become very disturbed. I'm going to become eternally a servant. And it's even more disturbing to find out I have no choice. It's not a democracy. We can't vote Krishna out of office and put ourselves in. Then we think, oh, eternally I'm just going to be a little soul and Krishna's just going to kick me around. I'm going to go back to the spiritual world and my palms are folded. Yes, boss, what do you want me to do, boss? Don't hit me, boss. And Krishna goes, watch it, kid, and, you know, remember the material world? One false step and you're back. I had enough of you. Clean my palace. But I did it for the last 3 million years. Clean it again, kid. Don't talk back. You'll be back there. So we have a conception of what our relationship with Krishna is in the spiritual world. That Krishna is the big boss. And actually the big boss has laws that takes pleasure in lording it over all the other little bosses. All the other little guys. So we have that consideration. Because that's what the material world is here. One living entity, jiva sativanam. One living entity is food for the other living entities. And everyone is competing to become the topmost living entity. And no one has any thought, real consideration in mind for anyone else except for himself. So we think of boss, he also thinks like that in the spiritual world. He only considers his own happiness and everyone else is a slave. Cleaning the palaces all day long, cooking the food for him. They're just working hard in the spiritual world. They hardly get time to eat themselves. They never sleep. They're just working for the boss there. So that's all a material conception. That in the spiritual world, Krishna is also has the mood of a servant. Although everyone looks to him naturally because he knows how to serve best. He's a servant, everyone in the spiritual world is a servant, everything is a loving relationship, but he knows him and Srimati Radharani are the most expert in loving relationships. So naturally everyone inquires from them about how to become better at that particular relationship of love. And here, everyone is trying to become the Lord. So of course Krishna, everyone has to rely upon Krishna to know how to be the Lord also, or the illusory energy. But here, we're relying on Krishna to give us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness for a useless, wasted endeavor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. And therefore, even one turns to Krishna to learn how to lord it over his eternal nature, still, in one sense, one is still wasting his time. But at least he's turning to Krishna. And therefore, there's hope that in the future, he can realize that he's just wasting his time trying to lord it over his eternal nature. Because we're never the lords. We never can be the lord. We can only imagine ourselves the lord by desiring to do it. It is not that when we desire to become the lord, we become the lord. We just imagine ourselves becoming the lord. But because the lord assists us, so to the degree of our piety, following his instruction, apparently under his direction we become a lord. Just like Prabhupada in one of the stories about Prabhupada, Harisari was, I think it was Harisari, another one of the servants. They were passing by a mailbox, or they were in their car and they passed by a mailbox, and a little child was trying to put his letter into the mailbox. It was too high, so his father picked him up, and then the child put his letter into the mailbox. So he thought, I'm putting the letter into the mailbox. But he couldn't do it without the assistance of his father. So similarly, without Krishna's assistance here, we can't do anything. Actually, we're not doing anything. We're just imagining ourselves to be doing so many things. But if we really want Krishna's assistance in the best possible way, Krishna says, Pesham Satatam Yukdhanam Vajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhiyogam Tam Yena Mamu Pyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to worshipping me with love, then I give them the intelligence, the understanding by which they can come to me. So, if we try to get Krishna's assistance to advance in devotional service, to get out of this false conception of being this body, the lord of nature, independent, then we become, by Krishna's mercy, aware of reality, who we really are, what our real activities are, and we can begin our actual life again. So here it mentions, of course, it's always controversial, that women are supposed to be subordinate to men. So in this age, everything is controversial. Subjects are supposed to be subordinate to the king. No one wants to be, the workers are supposed to be subordinate to the boss. No one wants to be, everyone wants to be independent of everything. So this type of consciousness is exactly what has landed us into the material world. Because when it says a woman is dependent upon a man, it doesn't mean that a man is independent to do whatever he wants with a woman. That's the problem that's happened within our society, when the philosophy of independence, or the dependence of a woman upon a man, then automatically the man thinks, well, good, now I got a slave. I always wanted a slave. That's why I came to the material world. I was looking for a few good slaves. No, a man is supposed to be dependent upon Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, which he's supposed to understand better than a woman can, and then he's supposed to train a woman and direct the woman according to Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, that no one is independent. And as soon as one becomes independent, then he creates problems for himself and everyone else. Ipevidu swartha katimhi vishnu dharashya ye bhagya artha manina andaya tandir upigayamanas. Because they don't know that the actual goal is to reach Krishna. Therefore, they take something insignificant as being very important. That insignificant thing is just the feeling, I'm the Lord. Material nature is beating us over the head. We're suffering like anything. And we're thinking, I'm the Lord. Someone has billions of dollars, so he thinks because I have so many billions of dollars, now I become the lord of material nature. But what has really changed in his life? He's the servant. If he has 100,000 cars, then he has to take care of 100,000, he has to serve 100,000 cars. Make sure they're clean, make sure they're well oiled, there's gas, the insurance is paid for. Somehow or another, he becomes obligated to serve 100,000 cars, just thinking I'm the master, but actually he's the servant. all of this misconception called ahamkar, that I am the car. He's not the car, he's the spiritual soul, but due to illusion he's thinking ahamkar. So when he gets out of this conception that I am these cars, they all belong to me, then he realizes that actually he's the servant of Krishna. That whether he has $100 billion or $1 or no dollars, if he has consciousness that what does Krishna want me to do with material nature, then he becomes Krishna conscious and he gets out of the suffering because he enters into a different realm of experience, the transcendental realm of experience. And as soon as he forgets that, we may dress with dhotis and pilak, we may do so many, but as soon as we forget we're suborned to Krishna, as soon as we start thinking I'm independent, I'm the controller, then it wants me to get Krishna, and we're being controlled by illusion. Therefore Krishna says, Chaita sansarva karmani maya sanyasi mataraha buddhiyo gama pachitya maschita satatam bhava. And all activities just depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Maschita sarva dhoravani matrasara dhrishasi if you become conscious of me, then you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not act according to my direction, do not listen to me, then you'll be lost. So we have to hear from Krishna. Hear from Krishna means we can hear from the scripture, we can hear it regularly, and hopefully we get to the platform that always we're hearing from the scripture. The super soul in the heart. The message of Godhead is not different in everyone's heart. It's not that Krishna has one thing to tell us within the heart. Another thing, he wrote 5,000 years ago, that women were supposed to be controlled by men, or men are supposed to be controlled by the guru and shastra, and now it's all changed because this is modern times. Krishna, if he came back next incarnation, maybe he'll come and he'll change it. He said, well, I'm sorry, it was 5,000 years ago. How did I know that Kali Yuga was going to happen? Such confusing age. Things are different then. No, it's the same principle, and when one understands the principle, it becomes satisfying for everyone. And when it does, we don't understand it. When we misuse it, we only understand it partially. Then we think, oh, this is very, terrible, it leads to exploitation, etc., etc. Because we only see it incompletely, and certain people wind up on the top, rather than everyone winding up in the same place, being Krishna's servant, and therefore becoming liberated. And realizing when Krishna acts as the master, he's also acting as a servant. To be a master, to control so many living entities, it's a hard job. It's a full-time job for Krishna. It's not that he wants to do it. Nachaman tani karmani nibandhanti udasina udasina masaktam teshu karmasu. That I'm always detached, Krishna says. This whole world is under me. But I'm always detached, seated as though neutral. Krishna has no real desire to lord it over anyone in the material world, but because we're asking Krishna's assistance, therefore Krishna tells us what to do. It is not that only the Hare Krishna devotees are praying to Krishna. Everyone is praying to Krishna at every moment, eternally, at least in the material world. Everyone is always looking to Krishna. Now, we're consciously praying to Krishna, and others, by their desires, are praying to Krishna. And Krishna senses their desires, which are just prayers, and according to what they deserve, he's fulfilling their desires. Desire is just a different type of prayer, that's all. So everyone, at every moment, eternally, will have to be dependent upon Krishna. And when one desires to forget Krishna, then Krishna gives them the intelligence how to forget him. And he gives them the intelligence how to never remember him. So So for the devotee, Krishna gives intelligence, knowledge, how to remember him, and gives him the intelligence, how to forget Maya. And for the non-devotee who's praying to Krishna, Krishna gives him the intelligence, how to forget Krishna, and the intelligence, how to never remember him. Therefore, we have to see that if I'm remembering Krishna, it's by his grace, by the grace of his devotees, and if I'm forgetting him, it's because somehow or another I'm still have this desire to forget Krishna and never remember him. Therefore, we have to become humble, try to correct our anarthas through the process of chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Try to improve our chanting, and eventually we can reach the stage when we'll always be in remembrance of Krishna and never forget it. And we'll never have any desire anymore to be separate from Krishna. So, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
You're saying class out of material energy causes us to maybe be in a poor situation like the hog and still think we're enjoying. Once I met this homeless person, I asked him what his life was like, and he said, it's wonderful, you know, he wakes up in the morning, I don't have to shave, I'm, you know, I'm free. That seemed like an example of what you were saying in class.
Yeah, everyone thinks like that. The worm in the stool is thinking, you know, I'm in here, it's free lunch every day. So many different flavors and tastes, free room and board. Great, this is the life. Don't have to work, just sit here and eat all day. The human beings in Kali Yuga actually have a very difficult position. The animals are actually much better situated. They work much less hard than the human beings. You don't have an animal having three or four jobs, or two or three jobs. They don't have to go to school, they get all their education, maybe in half an hour from their mother. That's enough for the lifetime. They don't have to pay rent. There's no insurance. There's no inflation for the animals. No one's tracking the whereabouts. They don't tap the animal's phone. Everything is, they're free from all anxiety. In this age, everything is becoming more and more difficult. Just to get something to eat is difficult. People have to work so hard just to maintain their apartment. So they can sleep, so difficult. And their relationships are deteriorated. They can't even be friends with anyone, even their wife or husband. They can't cooperate. And they're always in anxiety. There's no peace even for a moment. So the animals are not, we don't recommend animal life. We don't know relatively if they're more peaceful, but they have less to worry about at least. They're just worried that someone's not going to come and eat them. Or they're so, but except for that, or if they're a big animal, they don't worry so much about that. Just looking around for something to eat. But generally there's something to eat. And then their problems are solved. Anyhow, a very difficult age, Kali Yuga. People are thinking they're the most advanced civilization. They think they're enjoying eating some dead animal. Because we were driving to the airport, I couldn't believe how many jack-in-the-boxes there are. Maybe they killed Jack and put him into the box. Maybe that's why there's a lot less jacks around lately.
That's true.
So they don't even know what they're eating. They think that, oh, this is so fantastic. Say 24 hours a day, they can wake up and they're dreaming of Jack in the box. They wake up in the middle of the night, call for Jack, put Jack in the box and send him over. And they send him over. You don't know what part of Jack you're eating. But you think that this is food and you're enjoying it. If you actually understand, just like the McDonald's hamburgers, or any of these fast food, I think it's 5 to 10% of the hammer, maybe it's a little bit less than that, I can't remember. It can be anything, from sawdust to rat stool. There's a certain percentage of ingredients that can be anything. Because it's impossible when they have the meat, everything. You know, they cut it on a table and they put sawdust on the table, and rats pass stool on it, so they have to have a certain percentage. So people are eating a certain percentage, say 5% of rat stool or sawdust. So every 20 hamburgers, they've eaten one pure hamburger of rat stool. And they paid for it. They should have at least gotten a discount. So many buildings as rats, they could have gotten it for free. But people don't think like that. I'm eating, you know, rat stool. But it's such a small percentage that it's all right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grandpa Shrimad Bhagavatam Kidai. Srila Prabhupada Kidai. For Premanande.